Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome into the Steve Jones Show Tuesday edition, final days of February here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey. Steve is in the Sunbury Motor Studio.
We're down to it here, aren't we?
Yes. Let the postseason begin.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And this is what I'm talking about with that. I'm not talking about Penn State. I mean, it couldn't end up being with Penn State and, you know, like the NIT, whatever it happens to be, okay? But other teams in the Big Ten. You're seeing the Big Ten tournament through necessity, because they wanted to be in Madison Square Garden, playing the tournament a week early. Okay? Now, in order to get there, they've had to play a compressed schedule. You have heard nobody complain. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, there were people that when initially came out said, I'm not so sure this is such a great idea. You know, coaches and so forth. And in the end, Jim Delaney has now seen it play out and agrees. Okay. But everyone in this conference has been a good soldier about this. In order to get into Madison Square Garden, you have not heard announcers complain. You have not heard players complain. You have not heard coaches complain. You have not, none. You know, even though there's been no time off, normally a Big Ten schedule has had in it usually one weekday off and one weekend off. You know, there's certain points in the schedule where you'd play Saturday and then don't play again till Saturday. That's what I mean by a weekday off. There are some where you play Wednesday, they'll come back and play until next Wednesday. You get the weekend off. Well, with this schedule, they couldn't do that. So everybody, starting on January 2nd, played all the way through. Played all the way through. In fact, I was saying to Kathy this morning, I said, yeah, you know, she said, geez, you know, because the last three Sundays Penn State's played on the road. And she was, you know, and she never complains, never about it. And she wasn't really complaining. We were just talking. And I said, yeah, I've only been home 4 weekends since Christmas. I mean, think about that. That's just the way the schedule played out. Now, no complaints. It's a great, you know, it's a great job. But there is a toll it takes, and I don't mean on us. There's a toll it takes on the players and the coaches when it's a constant go, 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 and you don't have any rest time built in. Now, what's going to be interesting to see, though, will be as follows. Once the Big Ten tournament is over, the NCAA tournament, what's today, Tuesday? So Dayton begins 2 weeks from today. Then the actual tournament kicks into high gear 2 weeks from Thursday. Okay, 2 weeks. So you're going to have, by the weekend, 4 Big Ten teams remaining on Saturday, the championship game on Sunday, that won't play again for 10 or possibly 11 days. So one of three scenarios can happen, and I'm going to be interested to see which of these scenarios plays out. It could be business as usual, you see no difference. Or you could have rust. Haven't played in 10, 11 days. Maybe in a case, 12 days. And you have rust. Or you could have everybody, every team in the Big Ten, four, five, whatever it happens to be, so refreshed that they'll have all their legs and ready to go. That's what's going to be interesting to me to look at how it plays out. Is it normal? I don't see any difference. Is it rust? Wow, the layoff did not help. Or, wow, they look rested and they look fresh. Look at the giddy up they've got today. And that would go for the NIT as well. Because everybody's going to get time.
It's almost like the same analogy as the final week of the NFL. It's the great debate that was going on for a long time. Oh, do we rest all of our starters week 17, you know, so they're fresh heading into the postseason? But yes, it's the rest versus rust debate.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want to see. Now, if they all look like they are refreshed, you might see a couple conferences saying, maybe we'll move the tournament up a little bit. But I will say that the formula over the years has worked well for the Big Ten. One area where the Big Ten, and is it any surprise that the Big Ten really waned in the NCAA tournament in the mid-90s when there was no conference tournament? And I was, obviously Penn State was new to the conference, and I kept telling everybody else in the league, because coming out of the Atlantic 10, I said, this conference needs a tournament. Oh, no, that's not how we do things in this conference. I said, look, they need a tournament. I said, you got to keep playing. I said, you just can't be playing out the string in the final weekend of the season and not be tournament ready. I said, this is like 95, 96. So Penn State had been in the league, 3-4 years, and nobody was doing anything except for Michigan. And Michigan had the Fab Five. Although I noticed there are no banners. No, I'm just kidding. But nobody else did anything. Indiana knocked out. Everybody else kept getting knocked out. The Big Ten did nothing in the mid-90s. Nothing. And I kept saying, one of the reasons is you don't get yourself into a one-and-done mentality until you play a tournament. And of course, Bob Knight didn't want a tournament and blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, fine. Great coach. Smart guy, but doesn't mean you have all the answers. And that was one of those where I can tell you right now, yeah, he may like the tradition of it, but he wasn't right about it. And I knew that from going to the Atlantic 10. I was watching Atlantic 10 teams go into the NCAAs and do well, including Penn State in 91, knocked off UCLA, beating the Atlantic 10 tournament champion. Well, when the Big Ten tournament came about, suddenly, bang, things kicked into gear. Ohio State made the Final Four. Michigan State started its run of making Final Fours. Wisconsin made the Final Four. Now, and that's I'm talking about 97 through 2002. Those three schools all made the Final Four. Then you start adding in, then all of a sudden Indiana with Mike Davis. They made it in 2002. And lost to Maryland, Juan Dixon, in 2002. So Indiana then made it. And then as time went, obviously Michigan made it, Illinois made it in 5. And you could see, suddenly the Big Ten started not only getting teams into the NCAA tournament, they started getting deep runs into the NCAA tournament. That spoke to the quality of the player, quality of the coaching. But also don't dispel the one-and-done mentality of playing in a conference tournament. Which then brings us to the Big Ten football championship game. Joe Paterno pushed for a Big Ten football championship game for years. Now, Jim Delaney, to his credit, did try to get Notre Dame into this conference in 99. And the Notre Dame Board of Trustees voted not to do it. So he was trying to get a 12th school back then. But between 99 and 2011, no. And, of course, you needed a 12th team to have a championship game. Notice what has happened to the Big Ten since they've had the championship game. Since going to the championship game, look at all the teams that have been able to play in New Year's Six bowl games. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Wisconsin. they've all played in New Year's Six games since the advent of the championship game. Again, you know, the ability to win, get into big games, you know, play for stakes, that helps shape a season too. So now you have the Big Ten tournament about to start at Madison Square Garden, and the tournament does a lot to create a one-and-done mentality. But it's going to be interesting to see where will things be. In some cases, 10, could be 10, 11, 12 days in between games. And if you play on Friday, the NCAAs, it could be 13. 2 weeks. What do you have? The greatest legs in the NCAA tournament? Or do you have rust? I'll tell you, Nathan Davis would be a good guy to ask that, because Bucknell, what that championship game is usually win.
Championship game is a week from tomorrow. It'll be next Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday night. So that means that the winner of the Patriot, at minimum, because they won't be a 16. The winner of the Patriot should never be a 16, which means they avoid Dayton. See my point? At minimum, you have 8 days between games, potentially nine.
Patriot League semifinals are Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, but again, my point, the Patriot Championship game is Wednesday. That means a minimum of 8 days, possibly nine, between games. And Nathan Davis has been down this road before. I'm interested to see what he thinks about the rust versus rest factor, since he's lived it. Now, for the Big Ten champion, finalist, and the semifinalists, it's going to be a greater gap than that. It's going to be 11, 12 days between games, possibly. That's a lot. It's a lot of time. But they could come out and go, hey, it's like a second season. We feel great. Or it could be like, whoa, I kind of lost my shot there in the last week and a half, haven't I? I'm a little bit off right now. We're a little bit out of sync. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays. That's the one interesting aspect of this. Because next year they go back to Chicago and they're playing that last weekend. In fact, they'll be the last game before the selection, like they usually are, the championship game. That's always that's the one thing. In 2011, I was in that situation. It was really interesting to play the championship game, go back to a holding area, and then watch as a group together to see if you get into the tournament or not. It's actually kind of a neat thing. All right, we'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Neil Coulong on tomorrow's show. Joe Lenardi is going to be with us on Thursday's show. We will talk bracketology with Joey Brackets, who's one of the all-time great guys. Joe is one of the all-time great guys. Because our paths have crossed so many times. Because Joe's also the color analyst for St. Joe's. I am a big Joe Lenardi fan. Just a good guy.
Bracket bunker. Place to be this time of year.
Yeah, I know. They put him in the bunker and they do all this stuff with him. Like, I said, geez, Joe. Yeah, and he laughs. You know, he's a great guy. I'm happy he's been able to do something with this. I mean, this has turned out to be great. And his accuracy is uncanny. It really is. Major League Baseball has filed a grievance. The Major League Baseball Players Association has filed a grievance against four teams because they don't spend enough money. Guess which four teams?
Let's see. I will say Pittsburgh.
Bingo.
How about Kansas City?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. Kansas City's good.
Huh. Boy. Colorado.
Nope. Who's traded everybody lately? Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, the Pirates, the Marlins, and the Oakland A's. The Pirates have spent $23 million less this year than last year on their roster. $23 million less. Now, here's the kicker in all this. You do know each Major League Baseball team from the, it was a rights sale of something that they had. What was it called? BAMTech? Does that sound right? Each team got $50 million. Hey, $50 million. Now, you add in the fact that you're paying $23 million less in salaries, you're up $73 million. What are you doing with that money?
Let's see, with the Nuttigs, probably what, buying another newspaper, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's a great investment.
Or another resort.
Well, that now that's a good investment.
Yeah.
A resort, yes. Newspaper, not so. But it's... wow. Now, the Yankees... Now, if you're a high-salaried team like the Yankees, all right? Here's your issue. You've paid $90 million into the pot in revenue sharing. They're supposed to take that money, other teams, and they're supposed to put it toward personnel. That's what they're supposed to do with it. That's the purpose of revenue sharing. And if teams are like, oh, no, that's fine. I think we, you know, yeah, we need a popcorn machine on the right field line. Okay, great. That's what you spent on it?
Yeah, but it's gourmet popcorn.
See, they don't tell you those little details that are really important. See, I would equate buying a popcorn machine down the right field line equivalent to putting a Cheddar in your bag.
Get your popcorn ready.
It's just a waste of money, man.
Suit, get your Cheddar ready. Purdy tournament's coming.
If we tell him the tournament's May 3rd, would that be a great plan?
He just texted me like 5 minutes ago. When's the tournament? I texted him May 10th.
Perfect.
Okay.
You couldn't have played it any better.
See how it sticks.
Now we're going to have fun.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Suit sends me a text, says 878 days to the start of the Tokyo Olympics. I send him a text back, say 895 days to the closing ceremony.
Well played.
Mic drop, gone. All right, here's one of the great lines of all time. Now, you know, LeBron James is asked about everything. All right? So he was asked about the NCAA. And James called the NCAA a corrupt organization and said the NBA should further develop its minor league system to give young ball players a viable alternative. That's fine. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That, you know, that shows some foresight, so forth. I like that. He says, I don't know if there's any fixing the NCAA. I don't think there is. It's what's been going on for many, 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 many years. I don't know how you can fix it. I don't see how you can fix it. All right. Now, obviously, James never went to a university. He went straight out of high school to the NBA in 2003. Now, you and I both know that schools were lined up to get him. He says, I can't even talk about that, man. He says, me and my mom was poor. He says, I'll tell you that. And they expected me to step foot on a college campus and not go to the NBA. We weren't going to be poor for long, I'll tell you that. That's a fact. James questioned the compensation that some student-athletes receive for education when the institutions they enroll in benefit the most from their athletic performance, not academic. Obviously, I've never been part of it, so I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I do know that five-star athletes bring to a campus both in basketball and football. I know how much these college coaches get paid. I know how much these colleges are gaining off these kids. I've heard the narrative that they get free education, but you guys are not bringing me on campus to get an education. You guys are bringing me onto it to get to the Final Four or national championship. It's just a weird thing. All right. Now, that's fine on the surface. But LeBron, here in the back, you do know why they have to go to school for a year, correct? It's because your Players Association negotiated that with the owners. It has nothing to do with college. It's your group. If you are so concerned that they can go from high school to the pros like you, get your Players Association to convince owners or convince the owner. I think the owners are the ones that like to see at least one and done stay because they want a more mature league. But and the Players Association would like to see it done. Push it. It's your organization that is preventing it. Don't you get it? The NCAA did not go in, you know, and we can rail on the NCAA all we want, but not on this. When it comes to this, it is negotiated between the NBA Players Association and the owners that you must be 19 years of age and 1 year removed from high school. You may play overseas, you may play in college, you may do nothing. But that is the NBA rule. LeBron, it's your league and your Players Association that negotiated it. It would be collusion if the NCAA was involved in it. I read this. I'm looking. I'm going. Excuse me. It's the group that you pay dues to every month out of your check that is one of the reasons why there are one and dones. Now, I expect the NBA to change this, but to give an answer like that, you know, I mean, and look, railing on the NCAA is easy. We all know that. But don't give an answer like that. But when it's, okay, it's your Players Association in conjunction with the owners that negotiated that. There was nobody from the NCAA at the table. At all. Now, LeBron does have two sons, 13-year-old LeBron Jr., 10-year-old Bryce, and supposedly in AAU, they're both off to great starts. Now, it's going to be a little bit different for them. It's going to be a little bit different for them than LeBron. LeBron came from no money. Well, Bryce and LeBron Jr. obviously both come from money. They have they're in, you know, different compared to what their dad had it. I mean, their dad came from a household, didn't have any money. He went straight to the NBA, showed he could play right away. I mean, he can play. I mean, and he could play right out of the gate. I mean, really what he did as an 18-year-old was just thoroughly amazing, competing against men and playing like a man. At the same time, it helped his mom out beyond words. Now, his sons are in a different position now because his sons, conversely, do come from money because of dad's great career. Now, he went on to say, he said, we have to figure out, but kids getting paid is nothing new under the sun. Y'all seen Blue Chips. It's a real movie. Seriously, the NCAA is corrupt. We know that. Sorry, it's going to make headlines, but it's corrupt. Now, in terms of a constructive answer, James said the NBA can step up by expanding the G League. which was founded in 2001. It has 26 teams, each individually affiliated with an NBA franchise. Now, they're going to expand by one team. And he's right. They need to shore up the G League. And LeBron said, make it like a farm system like baseball. Now, Tim Frazier is a product of the G League. And now he's been in the NBA, what, three seasons? But he's a product of the G League. It worked for him. But start out with this, and I mentioned it how many times? Get rid of, you know, the NBA in conjunction. The owners are the ones that wanted so many people to go to college. Because the owners wanted a more mature league. I mean, that's, you know, let's bottom line that. And you also know you're going to get pretty good coaching in college. But it is the NBA owners and the Players Association, they're the ones that have to decide whether one and done stays or goes. I think it should go. You should not force anybody that they don't want to be someplace. They're good enough to be in the pros or think they are. Go ahead, give it a shot. It's interesting because I watched Duke play Virginia Tech last night. And a lot of people project that among the top two or three picks will be Marvin Bagley. Now, he's got a lot of great physical gifts. There's no getting around it. But he is far, far, far from a polished product. Wow. I mean, he'll go to the league. He'll need some work when he goes to the league. I think Wendell Carter is actually a slightly better, in terms of my eyes. Better prospect. I'll give you a really good comparison of where potential has not met performance, in my opinion. That's the Jackson kid from Michigan State. I've seen him in person, obviously. And I've also watched them games. I've never seen him play a great game. I've never seen him play where I walk away, holy mackerel, boy, is he something else. I have not one time seen him play a great game. Now, Miles Bridges, who's now a sophomore, I've seen Miles Bridges play a ton of great games. I mean, a lot of great. I watched him play great games last year as a true freshman. Jackson? No. And he's projected as the fifth overall pick in the draft. Michael Porter of Missouri. I've never seen him play. I've never seen him pick up a basketball. Last time he picked up a basketball was either an AAU or a high school tournament. Didn't see him on either one of those. So LeBron's point about the G League, absolutely spot on. The part about being able to go into the NBA, LeBron, that's your group. Okay? Players Association, owners. And you know what? You know what's interesting about this article? Okay. Not one time in this article, nowhere in this article, does it mention that the NBA Players Association, the owners, negotiated the one and done. There's nowhere, it's not in this article at all. Okay. It's not in here. It's a long article, a lot of LeBron quotes. Nowhere in here does it mention that the NBA, and LeBron's going to talk to him about the G League. Look, you can talk about the G League till you're blue in the face. That's great. I think that's smart, and it's a great solution, one of many great solutions that LeBron offers up. But just like spouting off, hey, the NCAA is corrupt, it's your rule. It's your league's rule. Or did we not know that? It's interesting because Kevin Love was a one and done. Kyrie Irving was a one and done. LeBron was a none and done. So they've had guys that have fallen into that category. Two of the guys who were key to the championship 2 years ago in Cleveland were one and done players. All right. Just found that interesting, right? I just looked at it and went, okay, you do know that it's not an NCAA rule, right? Now, in terms of being paid, all right. I'd like to, if I were to sit down with him, I'd bring up, obviously, the G League thing I'd explore with him because I think it's a fascinating concept on his part, and I completely agree with him on that. So I'd bring that up. Then I would bring up about the Players Association and the owners. So I'd bring that up. But the other part I would be is, and I don't know the makeup of his family. I think he has 5 children. I'd ask him how many daughters he has. I think LeBron has a couple of daughters, right? How would he feel as a father, and say his daughters got into soccer? So many young girls seem to get into soccer these days, or gymnastics. How would he feel about having no scholarship available because certain sports were dropped to pay football and basketball players on the collegiate level? See, to me, that's a big part of this. You know, it's not as simple as, well, look at all the money they make for the school, they need to be paid. All right, interesting premise, let's discuss it. But how many times have you heard me utter the words unintended consequences? Well, to me, one of the unintended consequences would be that you might have to drop sports, which means you would have to deny certain student-athletes in certain sports the opportunity to compete with a scholarship. Because there's only so much money in the pie. The pie is only so big. There's a fallacy that athletic departments are just raking it in hand over fist because we see the big numbers because they're reported. NCAA tournament contract is worth billions with CBS and TBS to 2032. The Big Ten contract is, both Fox is, about $1.5 billion over 6 years. The contract with ESPN is about $1.1 to $1.2 billion over 6 years. The Big Ten Network. Yeah, so we see big, big numbers all the time. But ask yourself, why is it that you need a certain formula to still get you over the top? And I'll give you an example. Why does Penn State need 7 home football games every year? Because that is a critical financial component that allows them to have 31 sports. It's part of the pie. You need the TV money, part of the pie. You need a 7th home football game every year, part of the pie. You need your basketball TV revenue and revenue sharing, part of the pie. You need your corporate partner revenue, part of the pie. You need your Nittany Lion Club revenue, part of the pie. You need your radio network revenue, part of the pie. And sell as many tickets as possible at as many events as possible as part of the pie. I mean, selling out wrestling reduces the deficit. Selling out hockey at least opens the door to making a little bit of, you know, keeping it a little bit in the black. Selling out wrestling reduces the red number. Selling out hockey at least gets you from red slightly into the black. It's all part of a balancing act that has to take place. Why do you have the balancing act? Well, you don't need the balancing act for football and men's basketball. You need the balancing act to make sure you've got men's gymnastics and volleyball and soccer and track and field, because they all have scholarship athletes. I don't want to put together a formula that knocks people off scholarship because there's only the pie is only so big. I know cost of attendance isn't $1 million, but cost of attendance, most athletes, student-athletes, are pretty happy with cost of attendance, and many do qualify for Pell Grants. Not all, but many do. Now, that's not a ton of money either, but they all walk out of college debt-free. If they do it right, they walk out with a degree and debt-free. Ask any parent of any family out there beyond ones with beans. What would it mean for your son or daughter, or for you personally, to have no college debt? Think about your own lives and the student loans that maybe some of you have had to pay off or are still in the process of paying off. What would it have been like to walk out debt-free? What kind of start would that have given you out of college? Armed with a degree and no debt. And if it was as simple as football makes all this money, basketball makes all this money, they should get some sort of much larger stipend than what they're getting. Okay, fine. But again, take Penn State. Penn State has 33 sports. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, Penn State has 31 sports. Ohio State has 33, 34. Now, other places like Northwestern have 19. But I don't want to see people denied scholarships and opportunities in other sports. That's not right. That's why this brand of socialism in sports, socialism works. It's one area where it does. It's why the Green Bay Packers can compete with the New York Giants. And it's why women's volleyball can compete with Nebraska women's volleyball on an even keel, because they're each getting money from their football and basketball programs that opens the door for them to compete at the highest level and give scholarships to deserving student-athletes. Deserving student-athletes. Football and men's basketball make the money to make sure that others that have no shot, I mean, their sports have no shot at making money. None. There is no way in the planet. And wrestling is a great example. Wrestling sells every ticket possible. You name it, they sell it. They still can't break even. That should tell you everything about the cost of sports between travel and scholarships and everything that goes into play when you don't have a radio and TV contract. That should tell you everything as to why the formula works for the greater good. They are not taking excess millions of dollars and they're playing the market with it. They're not. They're putting it into student-athletes, into scholarships, into cost of attendance, into food, into room, into board, into tuition, into facilities. Now, obviously, making a point about coaches' salaries is certainly an interesting one. Now, there the free market exists. It's not just head coaches. Take Dave Aranda, the defensive coordinator at LSU. I guess he's making $1.8 million a year. For that, they better pitch some shutouts. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.